mind, with the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart. The hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, for a while now, we've been taking a look at the life of Paul and his ministry and trying to relate that to our ministry as well. The fact that we are called by God to reach out and share our faith with others, just as Paul traveled throughout Europe, bringing his faith, teaching his faith to others. We are called likewise, maybe not to travel around the world, certainly, but to share our faith with the people that we meet. And we come to a little passage in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 10 through 12. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see that what Paul said was true. Many of the Jews believed, as did a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. See, what I think is kind of interesting here is once again, Paul's going out and he's sharing his message, and the people are taking his message and they're accepting it. But what I find interesting here is the fact that everybody decided to double check and make sure what Paul was saying was true. Is that a good idea? It is. It is a good idea to make sure that what we're hearing is true. And it's also a good idea for us to make sure that what we're telling people is true, isn't it? Because if we're fibbing, we're going to get caught, right? When we were kids, we fibbed, didn't we? And we got caught. More often than not, I always got caught, just so you know, Mom. I love seeing these videos. You see this video of a little kid who's sitting there and has like chocolate smeared all over their face. And the mom comes in and there's like a brownie with like hand-shaped chunks missing out of it, a big pan of brownies. And the kid's got the chocolate all over their face. Did you eat that? No, Mom, it wasn't me. And meanwhile, they're still doing it. They're still shoveling the brownie into their face. Children are so sweet and innocent, aren't they? It's a shame that we teach children how to fib. We don't have to do that. They come up with that on their own. But it's important to make sure that what we're saying is true. And it's important for us to make sure that what we're hearing is true, especially if it's something we're taking in and something that we feel like we're expected to believe. And that's why it's important for us, I believe, to really get into Scripture, to really read our Bibles. And unfortunately, that's something that a lot of people just don't do. A lot of people, you know, you got your hour on Sunday, that's the Lord's time, I'll be in church, and when it's over, I'm gone. God can look me up again next Sunday. It's important for us to know what we're hearing. It's important for us to know what the truth is. It's important for us to actually look at this book. I mean, this is a valuable thing. We have the Word from God. We have 66 love letters from God. It's there to show us what the truth is. It's there to show us how to live. Just as an example, real quick, I'm gonna mention, I got five little phrases, and I want you to keep track of these five phrases. How many of them are in the Bible? Okay, just keep a little mental tally here as I go through these. Remember, how many are in the Bible, how many are not? Okay, number one, cleanliness is next to godliness. Number two, God helps those who help themselves. Number three, confession is good for the soul. Number four, money is the root of all evil. And number five, honesty is the best policy. Five phrases. How many of those are in the Bible? None of them. Good. None of those are in the Bible. The Bible doesn't stand up for any of those. And it's important that we understand that. It's important that we get that. Because you'll get pastors come along who will tell you lies. I've had people come up to me after service and say, you know, that passage of scripture you read, that's not in the Bible. But they were. I did once a long time ago to make a point at our church down closer to the city. We had everybody look up the scripture passages in their Bibles as we're preaching. And I was bringing the message once, and I asked everybody to turn in their Bibles to the book of Hezekiah. I don't remember what chapter and verse it was, but I asked everybody, turn to the book of Hezekiah, and I started reading the passage. And everybody's frantically leafing through their Bibles, looking and looking and looking, and somebody said, wait, I haven't found it yet. And everybody keeps looking, and I read the passage again, and somebody said, I still haven't found it yet. And then somebody said, hey, wait a minute, there is no book of Hezekiah in the Bible. There were two pastors in the congregation looking for the book of Hezekiah, as well as everybody else. It's not there. There are things like these phrases that are just, we think they're in the Bible. They sound Bible-y, biblical. Maybe that's the biblical, that's it. They sound biblical, but they're not. And you'll get pastors who stand up and preach, and some of the things they say don't make any sense. And if you double check what they're saying, they're not scriptural. And you'll also get pastors who get upset when you question them. How dare you? How dare you suggest that something I say isn't true? That's why we need to know these things. We need to look at these things, and we need to understand them. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17 tells us that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I love that phrase, scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. I mean, it's his word, right? So of course he breathed it. As we speak, we breathe. We speak life into the things we talk about, just as God breathed life into his word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, and we also thank God continually because you received the word of God, which was heard from us. You accepted it, not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. When you received, you accepted. See, a lot of times when we're listening to something, the words go into our ear holes, and then they kind of stop. We may receive it, we may be listening, we may be paying attention. It's going into our ears, but is it going into our hearts? Are we accepting it? Are we understanding it? We hear it, we accept it, we take it in. Now, I'll admit, there are some parts of the Bible that are a little bit icky. Am I right? We know there are some parts of the Bible that are a little bit icky, especially times when Scripture tells us things we don't want to hear. It's true. There are some things in there that we don't want to hear, especially when it's telling us that something that we really like to do is wrong. It's hard for us to read that we should love our neighbor when maybe our neighbor's driving us a little nuts, maybe more than a little nuts. It's hard for us to hear that. It's kind of an icky thing. But we're supposed to love them because that's what God wants us to do. That's what he wants us to do. Mark Twain once said, it's not the things in the Bible that I don't understand that bother me. It's the things that I do understand that bother me. And it's important for us to understand all of it. I mean, granted, there are some things in the Bible that are pretty out there, that are really difficult for us to understand. There are some things in there that are mysterious. I think a lot of the prophecy is really difficult, but when you've got Jesus telling you what to do, which he does sometimes, you know, love your neighbor is a case in point. We need to take that in. We need to hear it and we need to accept it. Years ago, I had the opportunity to work at the polls. And I remember one year, I think it was during the presidential election, our polling place was an Episcopal church down in Franklin Park. And I remember the priest there and I were talking a little bit of politics. And I remember he made the comment to me, wouldn't it be great if Jesus would just come down to the earth and tell us what to do? Wouldn't that be great? He did. I don't know if he got that or not. It really confused me to think that maybe he didn't know that Jesus did that. Does everybody have one of these, by the way? I know you probably don't have them with you here, but you got one at home? You ought to read it. It's a good book. It's not just a good book. It's the good book. I'm not sure how old mine is, but it's kind of falling apart. I don't know, some of you who may have been around for a while, you know, Pastor Ed used to teach a Bible study here. He used to fill in for me every once in a while. He's got like big chunks of his falling out. His Bible's really falling apart. He's got lots of duct tape holding it together. I know people have told him, you know, Ed, it's time for a new Bible. He doesn't want a new one because it's got all of his notes in it. I think he's the one. He didn't make this up, but I remember him telling me, you know, a Bible that's falling apart belongs to someone who isn't. I think that's a really good thing. If you spend enough time in that book, it's going to fall apart. And if you spend enough time in that book, you're not. And as we go out into the world, I'm not just talking about us, you know, listening to the preacher and making sure the things that the preacher says are true. When we go out into the world, when we're sharing the love of Christ with other people, we need to understand this as well. And the things that we say need to be the truth. And we need to understand that. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 again. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that's not just us, but it's the people to whom we are teaching and rebuking and correcting and training. And yeah, we ought to do those things. We ought to do those things. We ought to be able to take an opportunity to, in a loving way, let me stress this, in a loving way, be able to tell somebody, hey, maybe you shouldn't be doing that. When you hear one Christian talking smack about another Christian, you should be able to say, hey, maybe you shouldn't be doing that. But isn't it also a good idea to be able to know why maybe you shouldn't be doing that? Not just preacher said. Preacher said isn't the answer. It's that love your neighbor business. The icky part. But I've had people tell me, you know, I'm not called to teach. Well, maybe you're not called to teach in a classroom, but certainly having a conversation with someone can be an opportunity to teach them, just as it's an opportunity for us to learn. It's an opportunity to teach. My favorite thing about teaching Bible study is it forces me to learn things. I'm learning something before I go to Bible study to teach it. I think I learn more that way than I do just sitting at home reading the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reasons for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." If we live our lives the way God wants us to, if we live our lives the way God expects us to, people are going to ask us questions. They're going to look at us and they're going to wonder, what's going on? What's up with you? And hopefully we can give an answer. I don't know that it's necessarily necessary to understand the chapter and verse. I know that's a big problem I personally have is memorizing chapter and verse for some of the things, for some of the passages of Scripture. I know it's in the Bible. Might be in one of Paul's letters. I can find it. But it's important for us to know these things. It's important for us not only to know it, but to live it. I heard a story recently about a pastor who was speaking with a man that he had met someplace. And this man had a near photographic memory. And he had taken the time to memorize the entire Old Testament and was working on the New Testament. And this pastor was just astonished. You really have the Old Testament memorized? And this man said, yeah, I do. And the pastor sat down with this man and over the course of about 3 hours kept putting out verses to him. And what does this verse say? Like, what's the first psalm? And this man could just recite it. And what about this chapter of this book? And the man could recite it. And it was flawless. And the pastor said to the man, you must be really have an astonishing amount of faith. The man said, no, I don't believe any of it. I don't believe in God. But he had this memorized. He had it here. He didn't have it here. This is where we need it, to receive it in our ear holes and accept it in our heart. We need to hear it first. We need to read it first. We need to understand it first, and then we can live it. We need to have this open every day. We need to look at this every day. The question often comes up is, which Bible is the best? People ask about, you know, translations, which one's the best? I use an NIV because it's easy to understand. I know a lot of people use a King James because it's what they grew up with. The language sounds pretty. But the best Bible is the one that you open up and read. That's the best version, the one you open up and read. Doesn't matter if it's a King James or an NIV or the Message or the Good News, or open it up, read it, receive it, accept it. Amen.
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church, or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Well, the benediction is a good and final word, and then put it at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And I think our good and final word is Bible study, 3 o'clock down the hall in the card room, Tuesdays. There are other Bible study opportunities here, I know. There's one Monday and Wednesday also. Are there any others? Just those three? Well, that's more than a lot of people seem to have access to. If you got a Bible at home, you can read it anytime you want. It's better than anything that's on TV. And there's plenty of books on the Bible in the library, aren't there? We have an opportunity to learn and understand about God. And it's not just an opportunity, it's a responsibility. We have a responsibility to understand the things that we understand the things that we believe. We have a responsibility to know that the things that we hear are the truth. And we have an opportunity and a responsibility to tell people the truth about God when that opportunity arises. How awesome is that? This service is over. Your service may now begin. Go from this place and be blessed. Amen.